Friends, welcome to the Decentralized Health Podcast. Today is episode number 2, and it is absolute fire. My guest for today's episode is Chris, aka Mito Pappy. He is a decentralized health consultant who previously aspired to become a physician. See, this is where this podcast is going to get very, very interesting. But after learning about modern medicine's inability to treat many chronic and complex health issues, he decided to go the more decentralized route and take a more holistic approach. Chris works privately with clients and aims to help them resolve very complex health issues using both a holistic and an evidence-based approach, which includes a detailed blood chemistry analysis and evidence-based protocols that utilize various supplements, nutrition tactics, and lifestyle changes. He himself has personally overcome health issues such as leaky gut, severe biliary issues, life-threatening food allergies, eczema, asthma, and many more things, and he is only 23. Friends, be ready to have your mind completely blown. Welcome to episode 2, and to Chris, aka Mito Pappy.
It just completely dissed all holistic stuff, and it said that allopathic was the way. So over time, people started losing more and more faith in holistic practices, and people started gaining more faith in the allopathic system. That's part of the reason why in the 1970s, you had the entire hippie movement.
Chris, brother, how are you? You well?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Oh, I am blessed and abundant, brother. And I am very, very grateful to be having you on the Decentralized Health Podcast. Thank you for coming. Please briefly introduce yourself to the world, to the public, and then we will dive straight into your story.
Yeah, so I'm Chris. You might know me as Mito Pappy, the Mito Pappy on social media.
The Mito Pappy.
You already know this if you follow me. I have quite the health hyperfixation and truly is one of my greatest passions. And what I mainly do for a living is I work with people that have very complex health disorders. And these people, they've been to naturopaths, they've been to specialists, they've been to doctors. No one can figure it out. So what I do is I utilize my philosophies and my background as a whole, which is pretty extensive. And I create an actual evidence-based approach that helps these people heal from a very holistic lens. And holistic doesn't necessarily mean alternative. Holistic means that you're looking at every aspect of the body, how it dynamically connects, and what you need, which interventions you need to do to actually resolve certain issues without the incidence of relapse for certain conditions.
Wow, that's so articulate and so beautifully put. So basically, ladies and gentlemen, what he's saying is he treats systems, not symptoms, and everything is coming from a root cause approach, which is quite important. Because unless you're going to the root, all you're doing is basically just plugging holes and eventually it's going to start leaking everywhere. So it's important to have that approach. So how did you get to this point? Like, start us with your hero's journey. Let's start from the beginning. What got you into all of this in the first place? Yeah. And then we'll take it from there, brother.
Yeah. So when I was a baby, it all started then, actually. I've been kind of built for this since I was a baby. So when I got the, the little things that they like to jab into your arm, I had a very severe autoimmune reaction.
Wow.
I had asthma every single day, very severely when I was young. And I had to do a breathing treatment before school every day. Severe eczema, 40 plus life-threatening food allergies. I couldn't have chicken or turkey.
40?
Yeah. I couldn't have chicken or turkey until I was 12. So it was a huge problem. Whenever somebody would get sick, somebody in the family, I would always get it way worse. I would always be the first to get sick, and mine would always last the longest. I ended up developing things like C. difficile overgrowth and all these other horrible illnesses. I was just shoved on antibiotics and prednisone basically my entire childhood. And if I went outside and I wouldn't have an antihistamine, my entire body would break out into hives. That's how severe I was from an immune perspective. So I lived most of my life like that, and I thought it was just normal. Like, I would drink oat milk instead of regular milk. I would eat all these horrible processed dairy-free alternatives. I always had to be very careful going to restaurants and those types of things. And thankfully, as I started to actually heal, I only have about 5 allergies that remain that are life-threatening, but they've all decreased in their severity if you look at the IgE scale, which is pretty cool. My dairy, for example, went from a 132 on the IgE to 5. So it really dropped. And my eosinophils, they used to be at a 3 before they actually stabilized. That's how crazy they were. So, yeah, I had a very complex history of health conditions, and I never paid attention to them growing up because allergists, doctors, they would say, oh, this is just something that you have to live with, and it's something that you're going to have to learn to manage. And so I did learn to manage it pretty well. And I lived my life. I went through high school. I went through college, and it was pretty good. But when I was studying biomedical sciences in my undergraduate, and just as a preface, being in the hospital your entire childhood, it can influence you a little bit. So ever since I was very young, I wanted to be a physician in allopathic medicine to actually help people. So that was my calling and my goal ever since I was very young. But once I went to college, I was obviously studying all the good stuff like O-Chem, Bio-Chem, physics, genetics, you name it. And I did very well. I had a 4.0 and I did very well on the MCATs. I started all these student organizations and I was striving for medical school every single day. And my sophomore year, towards the end of it, I started just randomly puking out stomach acid every day. And it all started when I just had like this general stomach pain. And I was like, I thought nothing of it. And it kept progressing to the point where I was bedridden. I couldn't eat anything without basically rolling around on the floor in agony. And every doctor I went to, they had no idea what was wrong with me. And I was getting so weak that I could barely walk up the stairs. So it was quite severe what was going on. And this is all while I was studying for the MCAT, which takes like 3 to 5 months of preparation to even study for. So I had to kind of like Michael Jordan at David Goggins, I had to figure it out and figure out a way to do that. And I spent thousands of dollars on naturopaths. They couldn't help me. I went from GI specialist to GI specialist to allergist to immunologist, like every specialist, they couldn't help me either. And all I came back with was a proton pump inhibitor for my stomach acid issues and an endoscopy where they just said, you have gastritis, which is just intestinal inflammation to an extent. So they did all that stuff. And I said, damn it, I really have to just study and I have to figure out how am I going to study for this MCATs and how am I going to get my body in a position where I do this? So I got onto health Twitter. My friend told me about it and I just started researching because I had all this very strong background in the sciences and I understand how laboratory technology works, all that different stuff. Worked in a research lab for 4 years. So I studied all of this stuff very extensively and I was still putting the pieces together at the time, but I adopt a more like pseudo carnivore approach where I just ate like low glycemic fruits, like citrus fruits, berries, raw honey, and then mostly red meat with all of that stuff as well. And I didn't realize it at the time, but every morning when I started feeling a little bit better, I would go on a long 1 mile walk to the library in the morning sunlight. And I was like, I don't know what's causing me to feel better, but I'm going to keep doing this walk thing because it works. And when I found out about the circadian stuff, I realized that I started my walk like right around sunrise. And I realized that I was helping my circadian signaling a lot. So yeah, that's kind of my backstory and my background and everything. And at the end of it, I really decided I've already shadowed doctors for probably like 300 to 500 hours. So I've seen what they do. And I just realized that there's a big issue in the system. They only get like 15 to 30 minutes to actually help someone. And they're going off all of these reference ranges that they're based on a normal curve and they're based on just population data. So 60% of the U.S., they have a chronic illness, and they're basing these reference ranges on the average citizen. So what they're doing is they're comparing chronically ill people to other chronically ill people. And that's why you have this huge issue where people aren't getting the proper diagnoses when they go to these doctors. And then you go to a naturopath, which, as you know, there's a huge skill gap in that industry. Some of them are really dang good. And some of them are absolutely horrific. And I got pretty unlucky in my case. So, yeah, I went to a lot of those naturopaths. They couldn't help me. I hope that, you know, they continue to improve their craft and get better at that stuff. But, yeah, I went to all these naturopaths, all these doctors, and I just realized that the system is so messed up. So why not go make my own system? And that's why when I decided to get decentralized, I did that. And The day that I did that, I actually got this tattoo, which is just a lion, and it says Carpe Diem, and it was just to symbolize bravery and my commitment towards leaving that system with virtually no plan of what I was going to do afterwards. I just said, I don't want to be a part of this system. I know that I'm pretty smart and I understand this stuff pretty well, and I want to help people. So I'm going to figure it out and go a more decentralized path.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So for everyone watching or listening, just for the record, how old are you right now?
I'm 23.
You're 23. So you've done all of this in like this much amount of time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's, dude, that's insane. Like normally that all of that would have happened when you get to kind of like my age. I'm just turned 44. So yeah. I've literally had your life almost again to get to this point. So, I mean, this just goes to show the level of determination and, as you say, bravery to get to this point. So before we get to where you are right now, obviously you were on this life path to become a physician and to be in the medical industry. And then obviously you've had this all of these experiences which have led you to the point where you're like, this isn't going to work. Like there's not enough time, too much red tape and constriction and restriction.
Poor analysis, and blood chemistry.
Yeah, poor analysis, data that's probably like 80 to 100 years old. You're using ranges which are taken from sick and old people, and nobody wants to be the average of those. No disrespect, but we want to be like optimal at that level.
Exactly. And how many people, like genuinely, how many doctors, how many hours do they study nutrition? And how many hours are they studying circadian biology? None. And how many hours are they studying different things you can do to optimize your sleep? These different things, these different core tenets of what it means to be healthy. They're not studying that very much. The big problem here is that back in the day, we used to have both paradigms. People said that holistic was good. People said that allopathic had its benefit. And people were honestly more skeptical of allopathic medicine before the year 1910. It was mostly holistic rural practitioners that did their stuff before then, before the Flexner reports and all that cool stuff. Yeah. This was the paradigm back in the day. And nowadays, you just see these two systems just hating on each other. You see the allopathic saying, no, these people are inferior to me. They don't know enough. Mm. They didn't study, and I did more busy work than them. So therefore, I know more than them. Don't confuse your Google search with my medical degree, that type of stuff. And then you have the holistic people where they're saying, no, if you're about to go into sepsis, don't use a pharmaceutical. You're going to, they'll tell you not to do that, some of them. Yeah. So we have this huge problem. We're basically the two systems, they're hating on the highest exaggerations of each system, and they're bashing each other to an extent. But the reality is that we need a dynamic harmony between the two, where they're actually respecting one another and embodying certain principles in each.
Yep, I agree, brother. It's the yin to the yang that we're looking for. And I think to sum it up beautifully, everything, like if we look at like Taoism, everything is explained as balance. You know, you have to know ugliness to know beauty. You have to know sickness to know health. You have to know positive to know riches.
Appreciate the sun, of course.
Exactly. You have to have these opposites to be able to appreciate. And that's exactly what he's saying here. You know, you've got the allopathic on one side, you've got the holistic alternative on the other, which before the allopathic was just called medicine. it wasn't called alternative. It wasn't called holistic. It was just called natural medicine. You know, we have to say, okay, this side got us to this point. This point stopped us from catching deadly diseases from sitting on a toilet. Like it just allowed us to live in society in a sanitary way. You know, I mean, God, you got to think there was that one doctor, he got kind of chastised and went like loopy, and they kind of like put him in a room somewhere until he died, who said to the doctors back in the day, like, the reason why women, when they're giving birth, are dying is because you're going from touching a cadaver with no gloves on to going to childbirth with no gloves on.
I learned about that. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So they put him to one side and said, you're crazy, then decided to give it a shot and people stopped dying. So it goes to show that these alternative approaches to allopathic actually do work. But obviously the allopathic is very myopic in view. And this is no disrespect. It's the system, not the people. And, you know, the doctors here, when you go to see a GP, they get 9 minutes. 9 minutes to sit down with you, hear your story, diagnose you, and try and give you an answer. Dude, I couldn't do that in 9 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I do it like this, because I realized, that was like my main reason, because I would rather take quality time to spend like 2 hours talking with someone than get like 10 clients in that same 2 hours and give them a half-assed solution.
Exactly. And I say this to clients all the time. So I'll say to them, like, you know, the reason why the length of programs or protocols, whatever word you want to use, is over a longer period of time, like 6 months, a year minimum in that regard, is because you can only move the needle so much in like 3 months.
Time and precision heal.
Exactly. And everything gets better over time, in a sense of success in anything is just consistency over time.
It's like an ice cube melting. The ice cube at first, you don't really notice it melting, but there's changes happening there.
Exactly.
And then over time, it's just going to start rapidly melting at an exponential rate.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, you feel like this washed up soy boy. You just become, you feel absolutely incredible. It's insane.
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, even if it's something like, it's on my mind, so I was having this conversation this morning with a new client. And I said to him, like, you know, we're going to be just focusing on the gut for the first 6 months. Oh, it's going to take that long. Probably longer. Like, the gut's one of the most complicated parts of the healing process.
Them, like, how long does it take to recover from an antibiotic?
Right. Exactly. How long does the antibiotic stay in your system? Do you know? How long does like anesthetic stay in your system? Do you know? These things take time, and you can't, you know, there's a great song by a guy called Trevor Hall, which he says, you can't rush your healing. You can't. But unfortunately, because we live in convenience culture, thanks to things like Amazon Prime and Netflix and stuff like that, people's patience have got shorter and they want an instant response.
Exactly.
And it doesn't quite work like that. It doesn't work like that. So back on track, 23, you've just realized you're not going to be part of this allopathic paradigm over here.
Yeah. I made that decision when I was around 21, I think. So it's been
You've been in the two years in the decentralized approach. So for people listening who obviously they're listening to the Decentralized Health podcast, in your words, what is decentralized health to you or to your clients, however you want to describe it?
Yeah. So you can think about it like this. When you think about a centralized system, there's one node and everything else connects to that one centralized power system. When you're looking at a more decentralized thing, there's several nodes and there's several different communities that have their own unique structures. So decentralization means it's giving the individual their power back. It's giving the individual their ability to express themselves back. It's allowing the individual to stand up for what's right and not just for what they're taught in school and what they're indoctrinated with. Decentralization primarily is about individuality and expressing truth. So when you're looking at all of this stuff, and I walk up to a doctor or something and I say, you're not reading the blood chemistry correctly here. Why are you telling me that a neutrophil level of, I don't know, an absolute neutrophil count of 1700 is perfectly healthy? That's not perfectly healthy. And it's a matter of getting these ideas out there that are very important. Now, when it comes to decentralization, you can end up with negative effects as well, because there are people that are pretty ignorant out there. Like, I don't want to name drop anyone, but there's one creator that speaks very aggressively, and all she talks about is how carbs and plants and different vegetables are going to kill you. And
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, dude, stop eating carrots right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't eat carrots.
You're going to eat this carrot, you're going to die.
Yeah.
My nervous system isn't working anymore. That's literally how it is. Like, it's a bunch of these people with hyperactive nervous systems and their own traumas that they haven't healed and their own health inadequacies. And they just project it onto everyone else. And that's one of the pitfalls of the actual decentralized industry. So it's a major goal of mine to bring a more evidence-based approach to this space and actually point out what's incorrect and what's wrong and all these falsehoods. Because when people decide, hey, I'm hopping off the centralized train, who should I follow? Who should I learn from? And they start following these accounts, and then they see contradictory advice. They get into like these mental loops, and they're like, what do I do? This person says this, this person says that. What they really need is somebody to just address the science and make it very clear for them. As a result, if we actually allow this philosophy to permeate the decentralized health space, you're going to see less creators from the centralized system hating on the decentralized health space. Because when you have like Freely the Banana Girl telling you to eat fruits for every single meal and that you shouldn't eat any protein or meat, it's horrible for the reputation of our space as a whole.
Yeah.
It's absolutely awful for it. So, and you get all these centralized people that will literally warn people to not like talk to decentralized practitioners as a result of this. And if we ever want to move the ball forward, I think that people like that need to be addressed, and it's a hard pill to swallow for them. That they're going to have to learn to not be ignorant anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is a very fine point to make about the decentralized system and the fact that what it's doing is it's giving you, well, it's giving you something that you don't necessarily get in a centralized system, which is choice. You get to choose, right? And as Viktor Frankl says, between action and response, there is a space, and in that space is your power to choose your response, and in your response lies your growth and your freedom.
Yeah. So, Man's Search for Meaning.
Yeah, beautiful book. Best book in the world.
Yeah, one of the best books I've ever read.
Love it. But with choice, as it says, comes responsibility. And also with choice comes paralysis by analysis. There is too much choice.
Exactly.
And this is when, and I noticed this, and you might have noticed this as well, when I used to be a personal trainer back in the day, and I was very much in the calories in, calories out kind of thing. And I'm listening to these nutritionists and these biochemists and these scientists all talking about nutrition.
There's nothing wrong with aspartame. You can take it every day. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, right? But you've got this guy, who we won't name, saying aspartame is fine. And then you've got what seems to be his mate over here saying, oh, no, aspartame is going to give you cancer. Don't have aspartame. And then this guy saying, oh, yeah, but no, but it's fine. No, it's not. Okay, well, then who wins? Like, how do you make that choice? And that's just with aspartame. You know, one will say, yeah, you have carbs after training. One will say you have carbs before training. One will say have carbs at night. The other one says have carbs the morning before. It just gets so confusing. You just sit there kind of like, blah, 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 blah. Like, you don't know what to do. But with this decentralized approach, as you're quite rightly saying, there are so many people out there with unresolved traumas, as you quite rightly put, who are trying to egoically press their opinion onto people rather than giving them a choice. That's saying, okay, exactly. Like, you, if we look, like, I've got some supplements on my side right here. Like, I'm looking at saffron for an example.
Oh, I love that stuff.
I love saffron.
That's the best.
It's like one of the most powerful supplements on the planet that people just sleep on.
You got to try the notable saffron. It's very potent.
Yeah.
And then I know a guy that he does like these crazy experiments. It's like borderline alchemy to an extent. And makes this saffron extract, and it's in like an ethanol dilution, but it's literally the strongest saffron I've had in my life. Like, it'll last for like 2 days.
Whoa. Okay. So after the show,
physically, you can feel it change.
Energetically, quantumly, you can feel it for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay. So after the show, you're going to have to give me the hookup on that one. Because the reason why the saffron's on the side is to remind me to buy some. That's why it's there. But my point being, like, from a quantum perspective, if we're going right to that cellular small process or smallest process, saffron can interact with you very differently to the way that it interacts with me based on our, not just our chemistry, our biochemistry, but also our energetic frequency.
Yeah, our bio-individuality as a whole.
Exactly. And this is where I believe decentralization has the key to a lot of things.
You know why? Because what does the centralized paradigm do? They treat the population.
Yep.
What does the decentralized paradigm do? They treat the individual. They're decentralized practitioners. They're able to sit down with someone, learn about their entire health history, learn about all of their blood chemistry in great detail, and then perform a very thorough analysis over this using a very functional perspective, using their knowledge of physiology and saying, this is the story of your physiology, not your mom's, not your dad's, not your brother's, not your sister's, your physiology. This is what's happening with you. Mm-hmm. So that's where we lose a lot of the skill gap in modern medicine in general. Because
I agree,
go into a doctor for 10 minutes and they say, I really don't have enough time to like fully look at your case. And not only that, most doctors haven't been trained to read this blood work so properly. And they're more so trained to see like, all right, are you about to die? Like literally, because then I can help you. And they're really good for that. But when you're looking at a more chronic, complex health loop that you have to resolve, they don't really have time to be a medical detective to that extent.
No,
so, and the unfortunate part is, the physicians that still bash decentralized practitioners, despite being aware of this nuance and this fact, it's I really want to know what's going through their head when they think those things. Or
Thinking money. They're just thinking money. That's all they're thinking.
Yeah, money, ego, those types of things.
Maybe again, it's working through their own ego, through their own trauma, through their own shadow. They haven't done the integration work. And again, I think that's something else which is also quite important to touch on before we go back to your story. When we're looking at decentralized approaches, and I can only speak from my own experience and from what I've seen from other coaches, because I've got a coaching group that I put together called the Cool Kids Coaching Collective. I'll actually invite you in because I think you'd be a great addition to that.
Yeah.
We're all doing the same thing, just from different ways, but we all understand that there are pillars to this. Like, you've got to address the spiritual. You have to, in whatever form that is.
Yeah, I do in every protocol.
Exactly. You have to do that. And you have to get people to start getting back in touch with themselves again. Like, I've got a form, a health blueprint, which I get people to fill out. So the blood work and the other tests that I do gives me the objective data, and the blueprint form gives me the sub-objective data. And what this is telling me is, from an introspective view, how well is this person relating to themselves? How well do they know themselves? Because if what they tell me on the sheet doesn't match what I see, then they're not relating to themselves very well. Or if they don't fill it out very at all, like, there's like 50 questions on this, it's quite deep. But when I get it back within like 5 minutes and there's like three questions answered and nothing else, I'm like, this person doesn't, they don't know themselves very well here. They need to spend some time with themselves. And that's a part of the centralized approach, which they don't have the time or the facility to do, where they could say to somebody, you know, when was the last time you sat in stillness with yourself? Like, when was the last time you journaled? When was the last time you went and took a walk in nature without your phone and without anybody else, just you?
Like, every day.
Right, exactly. But like, they just don't say, or when was the last time you just put your bare feet on the grass? Like, they don't say these things.
Well, they don't believe in those things either. That's the issue. Exactly. All these studies that I learned in college that just so happened to be funded by pharmaceutical companies. Otherwise, it's so insane how biased some people are towards that. And
I know.
I think that's why it's really important to understand history. Like, if you look at the U.S. in 1910, there were 650 accredited medical schools. And by the end of World War II, guess how many there were?
No idea.
50. What happened in between then? What happened?
I'll tell you what happened.
The Rockefellers, they had a pretty cool idea with the petroleum industry. Yep. They said, why don't we make these petrochemicals and just get super rich? Yep. And then why don't we launch an 100-year marketing campaign that dismisses holistic principles as pseudoscience? And why don't we team up with the Carnegie Foundation to actually see what's going on? And why don't we have them reach out to Abraham Flexner? So Abraham Flexner, he did something called the Flexner Report, and
he did.
It just completely dissed all holistic stuff, and it said that allopathic was the way. So over time, people started losing more and more faith in holistic practices, and people started gaining more faith in the allopathic system. That's part of the reason why in the 1970s you had the entire hippie movement, because it was for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So what they were doing is pretty extreme. They were saying, no, this is all pseudoscience. So the holistic side, they had a pretty polarized reaction. They became full-on hippies and said, we're not going to mess with this stuff, which respect to them for doing that for some things, not all of them. But yeah, it's pretty interesting to consider that. And they literally sent SWAT teams to the homes of old ladies that were using homeopathic medicine. And they took chiropractors and they basically put them out of their jobs. A lot of people lost everything. And this was all because of the AMA, Abraham Flexner, Rockefellers, Carnegie's. But I want to ask you something about the AMA chief editor. His last name is Simmons. I forget his first name. Mm-hmm. At the time, he was the one who was pretty much saying that all this holistic stuff is quackery and pseudoscience. what he did to his wife is pretty alarming. And you'll actually start to understand how messed up these people are, because he got his wife intentionally addicted to narcotics so that she would be legally declared insane so that he could divorce her and be with other women. So these people are not good people by any means. And they're the ones that were calling the shots that built, that basically built this system over time.
Wow. Wow. And I think, well, one, that's crazy. That almost reminds me of the story of the guy who invented the polio vaccine with the SV40 and then injected it into his grandson and his granddaughter. And one of them died and the other one became a quadriplegic or something, or a paraplegic. Like, yeah. And then they still rolled it out to people, which is insane.
They still rolled it out regardless. It's very inhumane. It's very wrong. And yeah, I hope that they found God at some points and repented for what they did.
Exactly. But listen, they don't have a choice. Like, which either way, once we get to that part of life, that continuation, there's going to be some repercussions to our actions. You know, there's always, as you say, there's always consequences to actions. So, you know, whether that's a positive or a negative, it doesn't. Well, whenever we do something, if we do something good, the negative always appears. And if we do something negative, the positive appears. There's always that equal balance. But again, going back to that duality, I think this is where, again, when we look at, and I don't want this to make this to be like a thing where we're bashing the allopathic medicine, because we're not. We're specifically talking about that particular era with the Rockefellers and the petroleum-based medicine and stuff.
Yeah, bottom line, allopathic medicine, it did such a phenomenal job of getting rid of infectious disease.
Yep.
Like, we are so much better societally because of that. So
100%.
100%. Yeah, this podcast is not dismissing allopathic medicine in any way. And I assure you, Mark and I aren't just random hippies that hate on allopathic medicine.
definitely not. Maybe later on in life we'll maybe
when we're like 90 we can experience with like DMT.
But you say that, in here I have a DMT pen in there.
Oh, that's crazy. Wow. Yeah,
I don't have the base anymore, but I've got a pen just in case. But that's the shamanic side of me that comes out, like, again, having that, my client who is a shaman training me and all this stuff, it just helps massively. But my point I was going to make was, the one thing that really stops allopathic medicine from actually progressing is the fact that all these medicines are singular compounds. They have been taken from a entourage of effects. And like, say, if we look at, like, we'll just use cannabis as an example. You extract THC, well, you're missing all the other entouraged effects that are coming from it, because you've got the CBN, the CBG, the CBD, all in that one plant.
All that good stuff.
Right? You're getting rid of all the effects that happen together. And it's the same like when you isolate anything on its own and then put it into an in vitro test and say, okay, it does this. Well, yeah, that thing does. But when you put it back into its original form, does it still do that? And when it's not under unnatural blue light, does it still do that?
I wonder how much they know about the people that do these extracts that are kind of the higher ups. I wonder how much they actually know about the science. And I wonder if it's more of a sinister intention. This is just a speculation that I've thought of a few times. But a lot of people damn well know that when you have a cell danger response that's just repeating itself from our toxic environments and you can't get out of it. Yeah, but you can't get out of that. You're going to have a pretty bad effects on your endocannabinoid system. Yep. To be really bad. And a lot of people, what they want to do is they want to self-medicate with cannabis to actually resolve those disparities that the cell danger response is inducing on the actual endocannabinoid system. So it makes me wonder, like, are they aware of this stuff? Are they aware that a lot of people are going to increase the amount of business that this industry gets because of the actual fact that our entire environment is toxic and it's promoting this cell danger response that's hurting the endocannabinoid system. So it's something I've been thinking about. There's nothing set in stone there, but that's definitely something that's been on my mind lately.
I've thought about that before. Like, was it a deliberate thing to keep isolating that molecule?
Yeah.
Keep breaking it down. Like, ultimately, I just want to ask that question. Like, what are you looking for? Like, ultimately, what are you looking for? Because
what are they looking for?
Nature doesn't make mistakes. There's a reason why it's all compacted into that one flower. Like, there's a reason for that, right? And animals know that, because when they're sick, they'll go and eat grass and they'll throw up. like, or if they're looking for another thing to like I think it's jaguars or cheetahs, they go and find this particular mushroom and eat it and they start tripping balls. Like elephants do the same. Like they'll walk the paths and find the psilocybin, and it's crazy how they all know this, but yet we extract and extract and extract and extract and extract.
It's like, yeah, the only thing I use extracts for anything is if there's like a ton of research supporting it. Like
yes, 100%.
Ginger root extracts, for example, I've found it to be very successful with a lot of my clients in comparison to just ginger tea. For some reason, especially for those that have like mast cell issues, histamine issues, it's really good for that. And at the same time, it's going to help if you if you're IBD at the same time and you're just inflamed all the time in the stomach. So yeah, it's really helpful for that stuff.
I agree. Same with turmeric and curcumin and stuff like that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Curcumin, the sourcing for that is so important. I know that.
So important.
Tetrahydrocurcumin is pretty cool. I've seen some really cool research on that.
Tetrahydrocurcumin, curcumin and curcumin phytosomes, I find work very well with IBD. Very well. But
did you know that it's a mild biofilm disruptor too?
I did. Yeah. And that's where you have to be very careful. That's why when people recommend quercetin, boswellia and curcumin all in that one little kind of combination, you have to be really, really careful because, again, it's biofilm disruption, antimicrobial. You could get Herx reactions from it. So you just have to be very, very careful.
But at the same time, if you pair that with like NAC, Saccharomyces, boulardii to kind of, especially the boulardii to limit
balance it off.
It's going to be really nice because a lot of clients, like if they take a biofilm disruptor, like the Kirkman one or Interferase Plus, they'll just feel like death. Like they won't be able to make it 8 weeks through that. Yeah. So what I do a lot of the time is I'll use like Boulardii, NAC, curcumin, quercetin, boswellia, and I'll just use that very gently in like a preparation phase almost. Yeah. And then they'll move into the antimicrobial phase and they'll usually do a lot better.
I agree. And again, it's stepping stones. I was having a conversation with a guy about his own antimicrobial stack the other day. And I was like, dude, like you are going to flatline yourself with this. Like,
I had someone tell me, they said, I've been taking this antifungal for 5 years. Why am I not better yet? And I was like, you can't do it like that.
Jesus. I'm surprised there's anything left.
Work with a practitioner, please. Don't. People will think they know everything and they go onto these Reddit forums and they're like, this is what's going to heal me. And the truth is that practitioners, they work with people with similar cases. They've often been through it themselves and they literally devote their, like, or a good one at least, they devote their lives to learning more and more about this art and science at the same time.
Agreed.
So yeah, I always say, like, if you have a complex health condition, you're probably not going to resolve it on your own most of the time. No. And that's why you see a lot of people that are like, I couldn't do anything. And then I went on the carnivore diet and everything changed for me. I've been carnivore for 10 years and I haven't had a single blueberry. Otherwise it'll set me off.
Yeah.
Yeah. You end up with these cases. So that's why I'm very much so an advocate for actually doing that. And yeah, it's unfortunate because a lot of these people in like these different holistic communities, whether it's carnivore, vegan, plant-based, they have these certain issues and they're trying to utilize this very specific dietary pattern to say, this is what's healing me, but it's not healing you. It's just reducing your symptoms. You have a lot more. Yeah. You have a way longer way to go if you want to actually heal. And it's far more multifaceted than just, yup, it's just an issue with my diet. Yeah, that is an issue. And you probably ate that way before for like 20 plus years. So it is an issue and there's a lot more in your physiology that we're going to have to take care of in order to heal that.
Exactly. And whenever I hear that, it always makes me go back to that kind of thought of from an electron and photon perspective, only 33% of it comes from food. So the rest of it comes from light. Light, water, magnetism. It comes from the rest. So if you're not doing those things, say again, brother.
If you're sitting under isolated blue light all day, we know that that's pretty dang bad for ATP synthase.
Yep.
It's not very good for cytochrome C oxidase.
Nope.
So what you really need is the balance between the blue and the red, because the red is great for cytochrome C oxidase and subcellular melatonin production. And it's excellent for getting our ATP synthase rotor to just be, it's just going. So you really don't want to be sitting under that isolated blue light for most of the day. And that's why I prefer to work outdoors. I changed all the light bulbs in my home to incandescent light bulbs. Same. Or so, I have these ones called Healthy Home Light Bulbs. They're flicker free, which is pretty cool. And you just turn them on and off three times, and they switch between just regular light, amber lights, and red light, which is great.
I've got those behind me.
Okay, yeah, exactly the same ones. Yeah,
and this light shining on me here, instead of using a ring light, I bought a I'm not an affiliate with these guys, but Block Blue Light. I bought their Bio Light, and basically,
I didn't even think about that. I need one of those for lighting.
It's incredible, honestly, because when it's the morning, you get the sun, bright sun kind of light. Then as it goes through the day, you press it again and it changes to the next color, then the next color, then the next color. This right now is the one just before sunset.
I'm gonna buy that.
If I put it on sunset mode right now, I go completely orange and it would not be very, very good for the podcast.
Yeah.
So I've left it on the one just before sunset. So it's like dawn, dusk, sorry. But I will change it obviously once I finish this.
That's important too, because you need that brightness to actually entrain the circadian rhythm during the day. So
exactly.
Like a lot of the time I'll just work at my desk and I'll have like the incandescent light, but like the light here compared to outside. And when I bring my desk outside,
it's so much better.
And I feel so much more awake.
Yeah.
I'm able to think more clearly. So exactly. I'm definitely going to get one of those lights for when it's, cause it's been raining a lot here lately, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't want to take my computer out there and all that stuff, but yeah, it's a really
It's like $60. It's nothing.
Oh, that's like, that's life changing.
Yeah, I can show you.
I have the little things. They're like automatic. So when you walk by them, the light turns on.
There you go. That's it. So
that's incredible.
I can change it depending on the time of day. So that's the one I had it on. That's sunset. And I can change the brightness.
Oh, I'm so buying that.
Right. And it's even got like a red mode on it. So it can do a nightlight mode and stuff like that. But that's too dark right now. There we go.
I'm so buying that. And yeah, neither of us are really, I'm personally not affiliated with them, but blockbluelight.com actually has so many good things. I have like, I think I have their automatic switches. So I put them in my bathroom and whenever I walk in there at night, it turns red. I know Daniel showed me that when I was in the mirror. Yeah, all up in El Salvador.
Daniel showed me those as well. And I bought one when I got back from El Salvador.
I was like, this is the greatest invention of all time.
And all it is an automatic light. That's all it is, but it's red. And I've got the reading one as well. So I clip it onto the back of my book so I can read my book in bed when I
Oh, I have that one too. Yeah, that thing is life-changing.
Oh, mate, it's amazing. And again, people think, oh, do I need all of these things? Well, no, you don't.
Yeah, you just need sunrise, sunset, midday sun, and you can go outside. But what happens when it rains? What happens when conditions aren't going your way to have you do that in your environment?
Exactly.
It's like these are good investments to make. Like, don't spend your money at like the casino. Don't spend your money on sports gambling. Don't spend your money at the bar. Yeah. Spend your money on this stuff and align yourself with your purpose and whatever you're trying to go deeper into in life. Yep. And use your money as a tool to leverage to make more money, to keep spending it on good things that are going to propel you forward in your journey. That's how you got to be responsible with your finances. And I see way too many people just blowing their money on like sports cars. I love sport car. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I love like a Ferrari 458. It's pretty cool. But I would much rather spend it on something that's going to be an investment for my health.
Yep.
That's going to actually contribute to my purpose and my mission on this earth.
Yep. I agree with you, brother. And I think with those types of things, it's not a cost. It's an investment when it comes to your own personal health. Everything else is a cost. But when everything comes to your health, it's an investment. It's an investment in you. Because what's the point of building this life and living this life if you're only going to be here a short while, or if you're going to get to the end of life in pain, decrepit, you can't see, you can't hear? Like, that's not the way that I want to go.
I want to be like 60 years old and I just want to feel like a beast. Like,
yeah, man.
Like it's pretty crazy. And this guy isn't healthy by any means, but you look at Trump and he's like, he's pretty old. And he still has that vitality to an extent. Like he's still a dog. And
guy's a beast.
Yeah, he's a beast. And he just drinks Diet Cokes and he eats burgers. So maybe the dude has like unstoppable genetics. And he
probably does.
Yeah, he's probably just not susceptible to anything, which is, it's great for him. But most people do not have that luxury, I would say.
No, definitely not.
The vast majority of people, Trump is a rare exception. And too many people are like, well, he does that so I can. Well, no, you're losing the point of the picture. You need to look at your own individuality and say, is this the case for me as well? So it's really important to consider that type of stuff. And in general, it's really important to just kind of look into all of that stuff and realize that your investment on your health, it's everything. And the actual vitality and how you feel on a day-to-day basis, that is wealth. That is wealth, because you're able to actually live your life and you're able to experience your human consciousness at a higher extent than you would when you're pretty sick and unhealthy.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. Because when, you know, I say this again to a client, you know, I work with clients who are like multimillionaires and stuff. And I said to one of them, I was like, you know, you've got all the money in the world. You can buy anything that you want. I was like, but when you're sick, what do you want? He went, well, the one thing I can't buy is that health. I was like, there you go. So that's how it works. You know,
I told you and I said, tomorrow I'm going to give you $10 million right now. Would you like that? You would say, yes, I would love that. Most people would. And I would say, well, what if you knew that you were going to die in a week? Would you still want it? No, you probably wouldn't want it. It's pretty meaningless. So the most important thing is our life itself and our ability to feel good during our life and our ability to actually grow and improve. And in order to do that, you really do need to take care of your health and prioritize that. And you're going to think more clearly. You're going to be able to actually reach your actual true potential. Yeah. And it's going to be so much better. It's going to be the best decision that you've ever made.
Oh, 100%. I couldn't agree with you more. I really couldn't. And I think, you know, everyone's got that goal of they want to be successful and they want to earn this level of money and do all this other stuff. Okay, that's great. But as you say, like, if you don't have your health to enjoy it, what's the point?
Exactly.
So for me, this is why I go so deep in all the health stuff. This is why I research what I do. So I study what I do. It's why I love speaking to guys like you and people like yourself. I say guys, because obviously people are going to get triggered, but to people like you, because, and again, this is not a woke friendly podcast in any way. So
did you just assume my gender?
I did. Was I wrong?
Yeah, I'm non-binary. No, I'm just kidding. I'm the same gender that the sex I was assigned at birth. My mental health is pretty good.
Yeah, I'm the same, brother. I'm the same. So yeah, if you're woke, you might not want to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, you don't want to listen to this.
No, because we actually have opinions, so you probably won't like that.
We support truth. Yeah.
Yeah. We do support truth in every aspect of the way. And you know, that reminds me of a talk I was listening to the other day where the person said, would you like to hear the truth or a lie? And everyone went the truth. And they went, would you like to be good or be bad? And everyone went, be good. And they said, would you like to speak the truth or be good? And everyone went silent. Nobody knew what to answer there. And I was like, oh God damn, that's a hard question. That's a hard question, but we've diverted off course here. So Chris, take us back to this moment. You've realized and had this epiphany moment that you're no longer going to be in the centralized physician world. You're going to go decentralized. What was your, what or who was your first introduction to that to get you to this point? Like, what was that journey like for you?
Yeah. So this was right after I took the MCAT, actually. And as I was studying for the MCAT, I was just on a health Twitter nonstop. There's a guy on there named Grimhood. Lucky Grim, you're the man. He's an OG. And then Analyze and Optimize.
Yeah, Analyze and Optimize.
Great too. They're the homies. And then, a few other people like Paul Saladino, Ben Greenfield, Boost Your Biology podcast.
Oh, Lucas. Love him.
I was just talking with him yesterday.
Such a dude.
Yeah, he's a great dude. So yeah, all of these people, they got me very interested and I was just absorbing their stuff nonstop. Like I was probably devoting like an equal amount of time to studying their stuff than the MCAT. And I just remember when I was learning the stuff on the MCAT, I was like, I think I'm more intrigued with the stuff that I'm learning on here about circadian biology, nutrition, the science behind nutrition, what bioactive constituents do in which specific areas of the body. So I got really interested in that stuff. And yeah, even Paul Saladino, like just viewing his content in the very beginning, I was like, this guy's awesome. Like he just lives in the tropics and he's living the life. Like he used to be a doctor and now he's just living as his healthiest self. He's eating a great diet. He's in sunlight all the time. He looks very vital for his age and all that stuff. And I was like, there has to be something a little off. And I just don't necessarily know if I want to make the time commitments and the effort commitments and the commitment of my health as a whole to go through medical school for 4 years and just learn about pharmaceutical drug after pharmaceutical drug and just learn all these centralized perspectives. And yeah, but by the time I found out about Jack Cruz, which was a few months later, I was like, no shot. But yeah, I would say in around August or September of 2022, right after I took the MCAT, and got my score back and everything. I was like, yay, I can go to med school. And then I had like this big thought in my head and I was like, but maybe I shouldn't. And I was pretty scared because I put 4 years of my life and probably even 8, considering how hard I worked in high school for these things. I put 4 to 8 years of my life into striving for this. And I was like, am I really just going to give that all up after everything? And just looking back on it now, yes, I'm very glad that I gave that up, because even though I spent all that time doing those things, it still made me grow into a better person. It still made me learn a ton of useful information that made me into the practitioner that I am today. And yeah, it really helped. And it's never it's always useful when you're talking to someone that's more skeptical. You're like, well, I was going to go to medical school and I took the MCAT and I did all this stuff and I was on this path. It's always useful when you're talking to someone who's more skeptical and they're like, oh, okay, that sounds a little bit more fair. And then you can even change a life and a perspective just by using those things. So yeah, I would say around August, September of 2022, I just decided I'm done with this. I'm not going to do this system. I'm going to go full decentralized. And I had no clue what I was doing at first, like no clue. I didn't have any social media for about the first year. Yeah, from 2022 in August to August of 2023, I didn't do anything on social media. I just devoted my entire time to healing and learning as much as I could. And yeah, I was just a sponge for knowledge pretty much during this time. And I was getting a master's in medical nutrition on the side because I thought maybe it's good. Maybe it's going to teach me good stuff. Unfortunately, they're kind of stuck in the 1970s, a lot of the teachers, and they're like, oh, saturated fat, it's going to kill you, all these different things. And I'm like, well, no, it's not. And second of all, you're probably eating safflower oil, which has a ridiculous omega-6-3 ratio. So I decided I'm not going to mess with that, but at least I'm going to get the degree and all that and do that or whatever. And during that entire year, I just spent my time learning as much as I humanly could about circadian biology, nutrition, sleep optimization, how to actually heal the gut, how to restore the connection between the gut ecosystem and the innate immune system. All of these very nuanced topics I got very invested into. I just basically spent that year reading books, going through PubMed, all that stuff. And yeah, by the time like I had learned a bunch of stuff already, I decided, why don't I just start a Twitter for fun and see what happens? And I was actually working as a personal trainer at the time, so I had a pretty strong background in fitness. And I just decided I'm going to keep doing this. So I was pretty bad at social media at first, and I was just doing my thing. I was just tweeting whatever. But yeah, over time, people started to really like my stuff, and it honestly motivated me to just keep going and helping more people. And I would say somewhere along the way, I decided to start taking on clients, and I was able to help people make very big changes in their life. And I was like, this practitioner stuff, this is what God was trying to lead me to this entire time. This is why I developed this random health condition out of the blue. This is why my entire life has been about health. This is why I was always the kid in school that would ask and question certain things and make the teachers very angry. This is why all these things are a part of my reality. And I realized like, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. So ever since I really had that revelation, I've been putting every single aspect of my mind, my body and my spirit into just really pursuing this and really treating this line of work like it's art and just continuing to develop and grow in this area. So yeah, it truly is one of my biggest passions, and just helping people with the practitioner stuff. There is this is like the most rewarding job that I could have possibly picked, and it doesn't feel like work when I do it. So yeah, I truly love that we can take our pain and we can turn it into such a beautiful purpose in our life. Yeah. And I think that's so important. And if you're watching this in general and you really don't know what you're supposed to be doing in life, just remember that I had no idea what I was going to do for like a year, pretty much. And I had no clue whatsoever. And I was very lost, but you just got to keep putting the work in, and you got to keep striving, and you got to keep following God's will for you and be in touch with your intuition. Yep. Continue to train it. And then eventually you're going to fail a lot of times, and that failure and those failures as a whole, they're going to teach you how to actually grow and overcome them and become the person that you need to be to actually carry out God's plan for you.
Agreed. 100%. And that was so beautifully put, brother. You know, you've got to turn your mess into your message, right? You've got to turn your pain into your purpose. That's what we're here for. And, you know, I'm very grateful that you've been guided through this path, because this is why whenever I ask people at the beginning of the podcast about their history, I call it their hero's journey from Joseph Campbell, because nobody that does what we do has come here completely unharmed. We have all experienced some horrific health issues, dark night of the soul work. You name it. Right. We've all been through all this stuff, you know. The body keeps the score, right? That's kind of how it all kind of works.
Great book.
Great book as well. So we are, all the people like us that do what we do are here because we've been through the worst of the worst to most degrees. And we've come out the other side with the war wounds, with the experience, with the knowledge to be able to then help others.
Yeah, and it gives you thick skin.
It does.
Makes you say, oh yeah, you want to throw a challenge my way? Good. Let's take it.
Yeah, let's go. And it also gives us the highest degree of sympathy, compassion, and empathy. And that allows us, it allows us to be able to be, and I say this to people all the time, I'm not above you, I'm not below you, I'm always beside you.
Always.
Like, I'm not better than anybody, I'm not lower than anybody, I am always beside somebody.
Yeah, and that's the case for everything.
Exactly. Because, you know, a client can come to me, work with me, but I'm not better than them. I've just had a different experience, which has allowed me to help them. That's all. And I'm sure they've got a unique skill set, which if I needed their help, they'd be able to do the same. It's just how things are. But I think turning point, I guess, for myself, when I'm hearing this from you, is understanding the nuance between all of this and about how we take little bits from different places and then we put that together. And that allows us to create our path, you know, because people say, oh, how do I find my path? How do I find my purpose? And I'm like, you don't, you create it.
Because reality. Yeah.
Exactly. Everything that you've experienced up until this point has been manifested by you. It's been brought to you. And it's, you know, people say we live in reality. We don't, we're living in the past, because everything that's happening today was manifested from before. So if I want a different tomorrow, I've got to start that today. And I've got to change the way that I think, and I've got to change the way that I act. I've got to do different things.
I remember in the past when, I used to have all sorts of addiction issues and all this. And I remember, I would always tell myself, I'm going to change tomorrow. Yeah. I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to do that tomorrow. And that's just code for saying, I don't want to quit this. And nor do I have the will to do so. Exactly. And I need to get my stuff together and actually learn, how am I going to make a decision in this present moment to say, I'm putting my finger down on this. I'm quitting it now. No more, never again. It needs to be now. It can never be the next day. Yep. You decide to make a change like that. And
agreed.
Yeah, something very important I've learned along the way, just 100%. Recognizing my own habits, my own, when I kind of get into like shortcomings, when I kind of am down in certain periods, I'll remember that because people will slip back into old habits and you just have to put your foot down and say, absolutely not. That's not me anymore. I'm a different person than from when that was happening in my life, and I don't associate 100%. Myself with that.
100%. That's such a powerful message, brother, because when you are doing something, when you know that it's not good for you, that's telling you one thing, and that's that you love that thing more than you love yourself. And the big question that you have to ask is why? And people never, ever stop and ask that question. Like, why do I keep taking that drug? Why do I keep watching porn? Ask yourself these questions, because you're doing it even though you are fully aware it's not good for you. But why? Why are you doing that? And that's the journey into self that you need to start doing, so that you can start to uncover these parts of you which you've blocked off at the back of your mind for however many years it might be. So I think it's very, very important that we ask ourselves those questions. It's so important.
Yeah, that's an important practice that I bring into my prayer, actually. Whenever I pray to God, and whenever I tell him my sins, whenever I've done wrong over the past 2 weeks, I like to do it every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Instead of just saying, I did this, I'll say, I did this because X, Y, or Z.
Yes.
And this is what happened in my past that made me think this way.
Yep.
So I'll actually do like a full-on analysis of everything. And then I'll come up with a way, like through prayer, and say, like, God, help me figure out a solution for actually getting through this and building a new road that takes me away from this horrible thing that's making me strive away from God. Yep. So that's a very important component of my prayer sessions.
That's beautiful, brother. I love that. So we're closing into almost an hour. So I want to ask you something about the quantum side of things now and the decentralized health thing, because obviously we're speaking about decentralized health. We've covered circadian biology, which is how we interact with nature, how we are outdoor mammals living an indoor existence, and how we're circadianly disrupted and how we have to get back onto those things. And then the quantum is all about light, water, and magnetism. So obviously these are all very potentially complicated topics. So when you first started going down the circadian quantum decentralized route, and you've already noted one thing, which was you were going out for a walk to the library in the morning at sunrise, and you noted how it was making you feel.
Yes.
That's obviously due to the red light frequencies and the blue light frequencies at sunrise, and obviously re-entraining that circadian rhythm. What were one or two more other circadian or quantum things that you introduced at the beginning, which you thought, that's it, that's made a huge difference, it's easy to do, hasn't cost me any money to do, and I can do this every single day? Oh, yeah. It has such a huge impact. Go on.
Yeah, the easiest one, like, if you want to just rapidly expedite your healing, like really fast, it's kind of annoying and it's inconvenience, but I was locked in for the MCAT anyways, so I was like, I'm going to do this, it's going to be awesome. So I did absolutely no light whatsoever after sunset, and I just sat in complete darkness, and I would listen to podcasts. I would have those on, wouldn't do anything. This is the best thing you can do for your melatonin production, and it's the best thing you can do for your circadian rhythm, promoting deep sleep, promoting restorative sleep, promoting REM sleep for emotional consolidation, memory consolidation, all of these wonderful things. And this is part of the reason why, despite I was really sick at the time, I was able to function pretty high from a more cognitive perspective, because I was prioritizing all these different things. I was prioritizing the brain glymphatic system and all of these cool different components. So yeah, I would say if you're really sick, you need to either block blue light after sunset. And I think that goes for everyone. So whether it's wearing blue blockers, whether it's turning all of your devices completely red, any of those things, you got to block that. And if you're really sick and you're dealing with a horrible health condition, you should just do it. And you should just say, I'm going to go no light whatsoever, completely dark. The only thing that's permitted is like candlelight after sunset. Watch your life change. That's all I got to say. Watch your life change. Like, maybe it's not going to work the first week or the second week. Like, all the magic usually happens starting months two and three. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. It's a consistent,
it's a long process.
And it's a compound over time, but trust me, once you hit month two or three, you're going to be like, I'm a different person. Like, what is what's happening in my body to where I feel so good? And it's going to change your life. And one other thing is, get your vitamin D status good. Very good. Don't supplement it. For the most part, I'm not the biggest fan of supplementing it, because when you make vitamin D endogenously from the sun, you're actually getting the sulfated form of vitamin D, which is, not only is it fat soluble, meaning that it can go into certain areas that are more fatty in the body, it's water soluble, so it's more versatile and it can be used in different areas in the body. Yep. And not only that, you get all of these, like, I think it's like 25 plus metabolites of vitamin D that are really useful in the body. And it even uses a cholesterol byproduct to convert vitamin D when you have UVB exposure. So it's good for your lipid. It's good for your lipids as well. Yep. So I would say get around 5,000 to 10,000 IU of vitamin D each day during the summer. Summer's coming around. Come on, get out there, get in the sun. It's really important. And yeah, you can use an app like D-Minder or even a My Circadian app.
That's what I use.
Yeah. So you can use either of those apps, and it's going to tell you basically how much vitamin D you're making. It should be between 5,000 and 10,000 IU. And in the summer, keep this in mind. The sun is sitting directly overhead for the most part for most people. Mm-hmm. So just lay flat and get like the maximal amount of area exposed to the sun as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. And you want to have about 70% of your skin exposed to the sun during this period. It's going to be very important that you do that. And don't sleep on the fact that you're going to get tan. It's going to make you look better and going to protect you against EMFs.
Yep.
So in general, you want to make sure and get a damn tan and go get your vitamin D status up and block blue light after night or after sunset.
That's incredible advice, brother. And I want to add to the people that are now screaming who are Northern Hemisphere going, but it's winter and it's dark and it's cold. Yeah. Okay, cool. So here's what happens. you utilize what Mauro Papi has just said, utilizing darkness at night. Why? Because melatonin and vitamin D, they act upon the same receptor. So melatonin is our natural alternative to vitamin D.
And that's why the days are shorter in the winter.
Exactly. But here's another fascinating thing. If you can get your vitamin D status up in the summer months and stockpile it, if you then utilize cold therapy in the winter, ice baths particularly will liberate the vitamin D that is stored within your fat cells.
It's true. So
it will release the vitamin D that is stored within your fat cells during the day. And then subcellular melatonin will be made from light exposure. You get melatonin from going outside. During the day, you have your ice bath. It liberates the vitamin D in the winter from your fat cells. You go outside during the day. You get all that subcellular melatonin, and then everything goes dark after sunset. And you then release that melatonin, and you now get all the health benefits of melatonin, which again is a hormone, but it is the major antioxidant, apoptosis, all that beautiful stuff.
Antioxidant, yeah.
Yeah, it's huge, absolutely huge. And the reason why that's important is because that's then going to help you sleep. And believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, we are the only mammal on the planet that deliberately doesn't sleep. You'll sit up and watch a Netflix binge or what have you, deliberately not getting sleep, not realizing that certain things happen between this time of night and this time in the morning.
Yeah.
And if you don't go to bed at those times, which again, we're not saying you've got to do it every single day, but you don't get hormone regulation, you don't get growth hormone production, you don't get glymphatic drainage of the brain, you don't get like the cleaning of the brain, you don't get muscle recovery, you don't get, because you're supposed to go through four cycles, there's all those ultradian cycles while you sleep. The less you get, the less you heal. You don't get your REM sleeps, you don't get any memory consolidation, you don't get any emotional consolidation, none of it. And you wonder why you're depressed and don't know where you're going and you're tired all the time. You don't feel normal until you've had a coffee first thing in the morning. Please don't have coffee first thing. Eat food.
Please don't.
So the easy hacks, sunrise, get your head outside the window or go and stand out in your garden or do what I do. I walk to the park because sunrise in the UK right now is like 7:25. So I'm up at 5:30. By the time the sun is rising, I'm already out. I go for my walk, have my zip hoodie, which I take off when I'm outside. So I'm the random dude with grounding shoes on, standing in a wet, muddy park with his top off at 7:30 in the morning. And then, as Papi says, midday, sunset. They're the three things, but one key time is UVA rise.
Yep.
Because that's where we make all our neurotransmitters. That's where we get all the dopamine and serotonin made from the aromatic amino. So even if you only have like 5 or 10 minutes of that UVA time and 5 or 10 minutes at sunrise and 5 or 10 minutes at midday, that is better than none.
And then when you get home, UVA and
testosterone
shot up so fast. Like you have no idea how fast it is. Yeah, it was crazy. But one thing to really consider if you're the person that obviously doesn't prioritize sleep is it's not very safe. Like if you're a caveman and you're living in the wilderness and there's lions around you and there's all these predators around you, it's not very safe to just lay there in the open for 8 hours, completely unprotected. It's not safe at all. So if our body is doing that, and that's a major function of our body that's lasted all of these years, and like that's the risk that you have to take, then this is an extremely important thing that we have taken with us for thousands to 10,000s of years. It's extremely important. Like our ancestors, their entire goal was to survive and propagate their genes to the next generation.
Yep.
And if you're going to lay there like around a bunch of lions or even like nocturnal animals, even all these like poisonous things, and you're just laying there unprotected for 8 hours, that's a huge thing. Like that's a huge deal. And that's why sleep is so important, because it has so many fascinating properties that actually heal the body. Like that's where the healing goes down. Yep. So that, it's a non-negotiable. Your sleep needs to be excellent. You need to sleep like a king or queen every night.
100%. You're not supposed to wake up feeling tired. That's not how it's supposed to go. You are supposed to be waking up feeling energized.
Feeling like trash.
Yeah, 100%, brother. 100%. And on that bombshell, where can people find you? Give me your handles. Tell them where you're at, where you're most kind of, where you spend most of your time.
Yeah. So my Instagram is the Mauro Papi, T-H-E MITOPAPI. You can just DM me on there if you have any questions, any concerns, any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I also do one-on-one consulting and I do practitioner work with people. So yeah, feel free to shoot me a message if you're looking to resolve a chronic health issue. And Twitter is just MITOPAPI. So the isn't in there. For some reason, MITOPAPI was taken on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So stupid.
Not cool, man. Do they not know who you are?
That's what I'm saying. Do you not know who I am? So yeah, Twitter is just MITOPAPI, MITOPAPI. Yep. Instagram, it is the MITOPAPI. And then in both of my bios, I actually have a health community. It's amazing community. And what we do is we do Q&As every Thursday. Mm-hmm. Myself and another practitioner, we go over Q&As and we answer questions for complex health issues. Yep. And then throughout the week, we'll publish one module that really just goes in depth on one blood chemistry marker. This week we did eosinophils and we just basically just take a deep dive on this marker and explain why it can be out of range, what the optimal range is, what you can do to resolve certain things. And then we do little mini protocols on there as well. So I just released a protocol on there for non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Awesome.
It's pretty excellent. So the community is pretty good. I think we have 75 people in it right now. And you should definitely join it if you're looking to deal with like acne, liver issues, metabolic issues, insulin issues, gut issues, especially gut issues like candida, bacterial overgrowths, leaky guts, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, all those types of things. It's going to be very beneficial information for you. And it's all very evidence-based. So yeah, if you're interested and you feel aligned, most definitely consider joining that. Feel free to message me on either of my social media platforms. I check all of my messages. And feel free to shoot me a message.
Ah, you legend, brother. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put all of those links in the description below, the link for his school, the link for his Instagram, link for his Twitter. Reach out to this young man. You've just heard a 23-year-old with the amount of knowledge of someone that's lived maybe 2,300 years. Like, it's insane the level of depth this young man goes. And I was blessed to have met him at Solar Culture in El Salvador when we both then realized that we already followed each other on Twitter and Instagram.
We follow each other.
So this gentleman then blessed me with the big yes, I'm going to come onto your podcast, which I was over the moon about because I just couldn't wait to dive into details with him. So ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say thank you so much, Chris. This has been absolutely amazing. I'm going to go because it's way past sunset here for me. I need to start turning all these lights off. I know you've got to get on with your day.
Melatonin right now.
I know, brother. I'm going to turn off all the lights and just trip over everything right now.
Total darkness.
Yeah. I'm going to put a blindfold on the whole lot. It's all going to go down.
Thank you so much for having me on, by the way. I really appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure. I've loved it and I would love to have you come back on. So anybody, if you've got any comments or anything, please put them in the comment boxes below for MITOPAPI. And until the next one, Chris, stay blessed, brother. Thank you so much. And I wish you a beautiful day. Ladies and gentlemen, peace out. See you in the next one.